Hey everyone, Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com, we've done your homework.
Hey, everybody, if you want to tell the world something or sell the world something, head on over to Squarespace, because they're going to help you build the website of your dreams. Say you want to sell some custom merch. Well, you can set up your online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com/stuff right now, and you will face a free trial. And when you get ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF, and then you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How could you go wrong with Squarespace?
Hey, everybody. Happy Saturday. It's Chuck here with another Stuff You Should Know Select. This week, everyone, I picked out an episode about TV ratings because, I don't know, I love TV, and it's interesting. This is from September 2014, and I hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know, a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Chuckers Bryant, and there's Jerry W. Jer Roland.
Actually, Jerry's been canceled.
Oh, okay.
Due to low ratings.
You know, what's funny is Jerry has been portrayed on television.
In a TV show that was canceled due to poor ratings.
Poor ratings.
That was our show.
That was our show. We had a television show once. It was called Stuff You Should Know. It was a slightly fictionalized version of our life, our work life.
We made a sitcom.
Yeah, we did. It's pretty cool.
And a lot of people loved it, and a lot of people are like, what in the world did you do it that way for?
So that a lot, it's like basically 10 and 10.
Oh, yeah.
You're referring to the 20 people who've seen that show.
Yeah, actually, we'll get to that all, but we know a little bit about how TV ratings work because of that. And in some ways, I believe we're a victim of the antiquated system that is the Nielsen TV ratings.
Okay.
No, dude, it's antiquated.
Oh,
that's
man.
Why it's changing.
I do not disagree with the antiquated part. What I do disagree with is that had it been up to date, I think it would have had zero impact on our success.
I don't know, man. I will say this to the people out there. What the network did was they looked only at one number, which is the amount of people that sat down in front of their television set on a Saturday night live at 10 p.m. to watch our show.
Right.
They did not count things that we'll talk about, like online streaming or DVR or anything like that, which is what makes it antiquated because it's changing, man. People aren't watching TV like they used to, but they're basing a lot of these decisions on a system that was designed in the 1950s.
So let's go back, man. It goes back even further than that. Back in 1923, the A.C. Nielsen Company started. At the time, people who were broadcasting radio wanted to know what people were listening to. So there were a lot of companies that would telephone up a family at random and say, "Say, fella, what are you listening to right now on the old Victorola?
Ah, the Amazing Adventure Hour."
And he'd say, "Hey, thanks a lot, bub.
Yeah.
Talk to you later." And they'd hang up.
Here's a nickel for your troubles.
They wish.
Yeah.
Because we're talking depression
at
this
time.
Well, not 1923. Later on, they wished they had a nickel.
Here's a chicken for your pot.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a Hoover reference, man. You don't get those too often.
I try to bust them out.
So the Nielsen Company said, "That's all fine and good. That's great that you guys are figuring out what people are listening to. But we have something even better because we are a technological powerhouse." And what they did was they randomly picked some families around America and said, "Say, can we put this cool recording device in your home near your radio and it will record what you're listening to at any given time? And then we'll send technicians out to pick it up from time to time to get the information off of it and then bring it back so we can keep recording it?" And family said, "Sure." And the Nielsen Company's domination of broadcast ratings was sealed.
Yeah.
After that point, everybody from every competitor they had was just peanuts compared to the Nielsen company. So much so that when you hear TV ratings, it's synonymous with Nielsen ratings.
Yeah.
Very much like Kleenex and facial tissue are one and the same.
Yeah.
Same thing, thanks to Nielsen's technological powerhouse. The irony of it, though, is that once they started installing those boxes in the 20s or 30s, and then they moved on to television sets, the innovation, I mean, they innovated somewhat, but fundamentally, principally, it remained the same until a year or two ago.
Yeah, and they're not, we'll get into all the hardware of the hardware side of how it works.
Uh-huh.
But what they did in 1954 was send actual little diaries that you would fill out and pencil and send back. And they still do that today.
Yeah.
In 2014, even though in 2006 they said they were going to stop, they still send those little diaries, and you get a little diary in the mail with five $1 bills.
Really?
In the envelope.
No way.
For your troubles.
That's funny.
And they,
so it's like the modern nickel.
Yeah, exactly. And they rely on lazy, dishonest people to fill out this card and mail it back and then go spend that $5 on a grande latte.
Yeah.
It would have gotten you a lot more in 1954.
Oh, man, you could have bought a car.
But that, but that is the diary version. What and the networks and advertisers have never liked the diary version. They still don't.
No, but it's what's called sweeps week, which is hard to say.
That's right. And we'll get to sweeps in a second. But what they mainly like to rely on are two different electronic hardware methods.
Mm-hmm.
The set meters, as in TV set, and people meters. And right now they have, by 2015, they plan to have more than 6,200 TV set meters. And this is just for the U.S. and Canada, by the way.
Yeah.
Because everyone else's TV is weird.
Yeah. Simon?
You ever watch TV in different countries when you're traveling and stuff?
Yes, and it is.
It's so much fun.
It is fun, but after a while, you're like, I really miss American TV.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're traveling abroad, you shouldn't be watching a whole lot of TV.
Exactly.
I'm just like, late night in the hotel.
It's one of the great pluses is you're just like, I don't feel like watching this. I'll go out and see the sights instead.
Yeah, I think I was in Belgium watching TV with my buddy Brett years and years ago, and it was translated in English and subtitles, and one of the characters said something, and I guess, I don't know if it was Flemish, and the other guy just looked and said, ick, ook, and it said, me too. So we still say that today when we're responding me too to each other. We'll go, ick, ook.
Nice.
All those years later. So anyway, the set, yeah, it said there were 6,200 by 2015 in 31 markets, TV markets. And then there are about 35,000, I believe now, people meters in those homes. Oh, I'm sorry, in about 20,000 homes.
Mm.
And those people meters are more specific because you can have three people meters in one house. We want to see what little Susie's watching. We want to see what her brother Randy's watching.
Right.
And they won't see what her dad watches
text
after everyone's gone to bed.
Yeah.
So each one of them will have their own little people meter that they'll turn on. And I always thought that these things were connected to your television, like your cable box.
Yeah.
And it just kind of read the information, but they're actually listening devices.
Isn't that weird?
Totally blew my mind.
So basically,
fact of the podcast, I think.
The way that Nielsen figures out what TV show you're talking to is because they have a device that's connected to the internet that is eavesdropping on your TV. And they just in 2006 finally got to the point where they perfected this technology, and they have codes that broadcasters, the networks, and the local affiliates have to put in to their audio stream, the audio-video stream.
Yeah.
That
no,
is,
just the audio stream.
Is it just audio?
Yeah, but they're trying to come up with a video version.
So basically there's a sound, there's a frequency that you can't hear. I don't even think your dog can hear it, but it comes through your TV,
yeah,
and your Nielsen box can hear it, and it's basically an audio fingerprint for a show. And when the Nielsen box hears that audio, it can be like, oh, well, they're watching Good Times right now.
That's funny. I was just thinking that.
No way.
Good Times, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, I should say Three's Company instead.
It depends.
And then you said Good Times.
Although if you watch Good Times long enough, there's an episode of Three's Company coming on eventually on that channel.
I think Good Times may be my favorite all-time theme song.
It's a good one.
Oh, man, it's so good. It's ridiculous.
D- Did I tell you Henry Mancini did the What's Happening theme song?
Yes.
What episode was that in?
Just a few ago.
Oh, it was Number Stations.
Yeah.
Because the sound that the shortwave thing made. So that's how Nielsen's been figuring out what people are watching, which is mind-blowing. It's also, if it seems a little backwards, it may be emblematic of a larger systematic resistance toward technological improvement.
Yeah, or if it seems a little small as far as the sample pool goes.
Which it is.
It is, but what they do is they extrapolate that number just like pollsters do, and they say, well, these are average markets, these are average families, so if these eventually 6,200 TV sets are watching this, we can pull that out and do some sort of, they probably do it on a chalkboard in a room. There's this one guy who has the piece of chalk,
right,
and he extrapolates that out and says, well, this is what America is watching, which always has bugged me.
Yeah.
Especially when you have a TV show that gets canceled.
It is, because it all comes down to just how representative is your sample. You said there's 6,500 TV sets?
There are 6,200 by 2015 for the set meters.
Right now, in 2014, May of 2014, there are 116.3 million TV sets in the U.S.
Exactly.
So this is a very small sample size. But if the guy with the chalk, Bert, can come up with a very good representative portion of the U.S., like there's this many divorced Hispanic families, there's this many gay Asian households, there's like this many, you know, Mitt Romney voters, and like they take all these guys and put them together, and it's a clear cross-section of America.
That's America, baby.
You should be able to extrapolate pretty well from that.
That's true.
It just all depends on how good their statisticians are.
That's right. And they do audits over the years and quality checks, of course, and compare ratings from different samples. So it's not like they just said, yeah, that's how we're doing it, although they sort of do that. But they do quality checks, of course.
Yeah. One of the problems is like there's been so few challenges from outside competition that Nielsen can do whatever it wants. And it's so powerful that it literally has the entire television industry at its feet. It decides what rating a TV show gets. And ultimately, the whole point to all of this stuff, to TV ratings in general, is so that networks and their local affiliates can set advertising rates for advertisers. There's $78 billion at stake. That's the advertising spent in a year on television. And it all comes down to what rating Nielsen, with their representative sample and their audio eavesdropping boxes and their $5 bills in a paper diary, decide that your TV show got.
That's right. That's the dirty little secret, is that they don't care how many people are watching that TV show. They care about how many people are watching the commercials.
Yeah.
That's really what they're looking at. And more specifically, what demographic, which is why I don't think we mentioned why the people meters are so valuable.
Right.
Because they want to get that specific demo so they can show advertisers, 18 to 49-year-olds, they spend a ton of money, and they're watching Community, but no one else is, so we'll cancel Community.
Which is kind of crazy, as we'll see in a little while.
Yeah, but just quickly, let me go over. I think most people know this, but if you've got a half-hour TV show, and you're going to have 22 minutes of TV show, then you're going to have 8 minutes of commercials. Six of those are national ads sold by the network, and then your local affiliate, that's where you're going to get your awesome commercials.
Hey, for the Wolfman.
Yeah, 2 minutes worth. Or Crazy Eddie, I remember, was big up in the Northeast.
And then, so this is 2006. I couldn't find one recently, but back in 2006, if you're buying a commercial slot from a local affiliate, you're going to pay about $100 to $2,000, depending on, and this is during the daytime, this isn't like 3 a.m.,
right,
but depending on what show, so like back when Oprah was on, you could get a 30-second spot for $90. You could pay,
oh, as a local affiliate?
Yeah, you could also pay up to $2,000 for it, and then apparently you're going to double that for a national ad for a 30-second spot during the day.
Wow.
Which isn't outlandish.
Well, that's how Crazy Eddie, I mean.
Yeah, right.
Or the Wolfman, they don't have a ton of money.
No. So, although, I don't know, Wolfman wore a lot of jewelry.
Yeah, that's true.
For those of you who don't know who the Wolfman is, we understand because you probably didn't live in Atlanta in 1990.
Yeah, I bet it was Southeast. I bet it was on like WTBS and stuff.
All you have to do is go type in Wolfman Donna Gallery Furniture into the YouTubes, and it will show you some classic gallery furniture ads.
Or just type in, hey, ask for the Wolfman.
No, ask for Donna.
I don't remember that part.
What? You don't remember Donna, his daughter with the hair? The whole premise of the ads
was
Wolfman wanted you to come see him, and she'd say, hey, ask for the Wolfman. She'd go, no, ask for Donna. Today's episode is brought to you by Altoids because, let's face it, unraveling the mysteries of the universe is tough work. But with Altoids, your breath will be stronger than a black hole's gravitational pull, more intense than an alien abduction, and more reliable than your phone's battery during a podcast marathon. When it comes to needing intense freshness, Altoids have you covered. Altoids are stronger than your favorite conspiracy theory, more intense than the latest true crime docuseries, and more reliable than a Bigfoot sighting. They're not just mints, they're curiously strong mints. Find Altoids in the checkout aisle. Grab your tin today. Hey, everybody. If you're building a deck at work and you want to supercharge it, check out Canva presentations. Work docs have been the same for too long. But Canva docs are different. They're visual. They grab readers' attention with images, charts, tables, and videos playable right in the doc. Plus, docs don't have to be just words on a page. You can make your docs pop with Canva docs.
That's right. And Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, HR, ops, marketing, and more, Canva presentations can be the solution for you. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it.
Canva presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. You start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, adding images, graphics, charts, data visualizations, all from a massive media library. It's super easy to wow any audience with Canva presentations.
So start designing today at canva.com, designed for work. That's canva.com. Right, sweeps. Everyone's heard it. It is a bit.
Everyone's heard it.
Yeah, everyone hears about. You know, this is sweeps weeks. That's when. Well, we'll tell you what it is.
This is the fact of the podcast to me.
What, sweeps week?
Yeah, where it came from and why it exists.
Well, in 1954 is when they started sending out those TV diaries, and they made a geographic sweep starting in the Northeast across the country from east to west, and they collected the little booklets. And those were our first reportings of TV ratings.
So before, they had the eavesdropping boxes that they were using, but it was basically like these are, I think, maybe up to 20,000 households at one point in the major markets. The great thing about the paper diaries is they could go into local markets, smaller markets, and find out not just what, you know, the people in New York or L.A. or Chicago were watching.
Sure.
But what the people in, you know, Santa Fe were watching, too, or, you know, Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, there was a saying, how does it play in, what
Santa
was it?
Fe?
Was it Sheboygan or something?
Probably Sheboygan or Walla Walla.
I can't remember. It may have been a movie thing, too, but that, there's an industry saying, how does it play in the city?
It's got to rhyme.
Because that's what matters. You know, of course, New York and L.A. and the major markets are going to consume they want to know what your average household wants to see.
Right. And
basically,
this is in 1954. This was the first time that anyone had ever taken a really comprehensive snapshot of what America was watching in a given week.
Yeah.
And so they said, hey, this worked really well. We're going to start doing this every year. We're going to have what's now called a sweeps week, and it's going to be on this week. And so the TV executive said, well, wait a minute. Sweeps week. This is what we're going to start setting our advertising rates against. And it's going to be this week.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do the craziest stuff I can think of to get ratings as big and wide as I possibly can grab on that week. And that is where Sweeps Week came from. And we've seen some pretty interesting things as a result of Sweeps Week.
Yeah, there's a great tradition of stunt casting during Sweeps Week.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Bieber will show up on CSI.
I didn't see that one, did you?
No, I don't watch that show. And if I did, I would have punched my TV if he showed up on it. If you're going to shoot JR, you're going to do it during Sweeps Week.
Oh, yeah.
The late night talk shows are going to load up their biggest A-list guest during Sweeps Week.
ER did a live show.
Yes, I actually watched that one, and I wasn't an ER fan. I just wanted to see if they could pull it off.
Yeah, right.
It was pretty cool.
Ellen used to have a sitcom based on her life,
yeah.
And she came out on that show during Sweeps Week.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And very famously, there was a not one, not two, but thrice part Happy Days where Fonzie jumps a shark on water skis.
Was that Sweeps?
That happened during Sweeps Week.
Wow, that's a Sweeps failure.
I
don't know if people watched it.
Yeah.
I don't guess you can call it a failure because that's probably...
it's iconic.
Become, yeah, it's part of the lexicon now.
Do you remember in Arrested Development where Henry Winkler jumps over a shark?
Yeah. Classic.
Yeah.
These days, Sweeps Week is actually 16 weeks because they have... I don't know about narrowed it down. They broadened it out to four-week periods in November, February, May, and July. And they still trot out special things for sweeps, but it's not – it definitely doesn't have the teeth that it used to because the way that people consume media these days, which we're going to start getting into.
So it doesn't have the teeth that it used to, and as a result, a lot of networks have kind of stopped, like you said, doing the stunt casting and that kind of stuff. But it's still as a it's still basically holding broadcast TV hostage.
Yeah,
because that is still what advertisers want to see. Well, what are your ratings during Sweeps Week? And that's what they set their ad rates against.
Yeah.
So the fact that there are these 4-month-long Sweeps Weeks means that the broadcasters have to follow the normal fall to summer broadcast model with reruns. In between.
Yeah, and this is for NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, like the major broadcast networks, non-cable networks.
Right.
Which is a completely dying beast.
Yeah, because they rely 100% exclusively on advertising.
Yeah.
And cable has been eating their lunch because advertising has been going down. It looks like it's already peaked. It's still $78 million.
Billion.
Billion, yeah. Yes, you're right. But cable takes a huge, substantial portion of that in advertising.
Yeah.
But then even when advertising rates go down, cable still survives because cable makes money off of subscriber fees.
Yep.
And transmission fees, too.
Yeah, exactly, which is why cable has a big leg up. And also, they can they don't have a traditional television season. They can release stuff all year long.
Right.
And
you can binge watch it.
Yeah, which is happening. That's the new model.
So like we said, for many years, Nielsen was just kind of, as this one Wired article, the Nielsen family is dead put it, it was in a torpor. And the first thing that really...
I love that word.
I do too.
Torpor.
Perfect.
So great.
The first thing that really roused Nielsen was DVRs. Because when DVRs came along, the advertising industry was like, oh God, people can fast forward through ads now.
Yeah, like they've always dreamed of doing.
Exactly. Now they can.
Yeah.
And it was basically the television apocalypse. And that didn't pan out because advertisers figured out that, yeah, people can fast forward through ads, but there's ways to still get your message across at 16 times speed. You can do things called pop busters where you use the actors or the look or the set of the TV show that you're advertising within.
Yeah.
To make them think like the show just came back on and you caught them.
Yep.
Because it's really an ad.
I know.
There's all sorts of stuff you can do. So it hasn't been an advertising apocalypse. And as a result, because DVRs are clearly here to stay and have been since, the early 2000s, Nielsen has had to kind of finally be like, okay, we need to innovate a little bit and figure out how to include DVR, because not everybody's sitting down at 8 o'clock on a Monday night and watching Murder, She Wrote.
Nobody is.
Man, I watched a couple episodes the other night. I love that show.
I've never seen one episode.
What?
I know.
Man, it is good.
Is it?
It's good.
Another thing, too, just to backtrack, is I've noticed lately is your on-demand watching, which a lot of cable companies, I'm a Comcast person because I'm forced to be.
Yeah.
Um,
yeah, really.
A lot of the on-demand shows now within the first like couple of weeks that they're available, you can't fast forward through.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Like, you hit the fast forward button and a little null sign comes up.
Yeah.
And says, sorry, you're going to have to sit through this.
So the DVR, I guess the fact that the DVR is connected to the internet.
Yeah.
And is because it's getting show information. The actual show is being recorded on your physical hard drive. I'm sure there's cloud DVR recorders or whatever, but for the most part, there's a hard drive that's recording shows onto your DVR. And then the other capability is that it's connected to the internet, which is where it gets show information and all that stuff to present to you.
Exactly.
But the internet, as you may have figured out by now, is a two-way street.
Yeah.
Not only can information be downloaded to your home, it can be uploaded, and that includes your preferences, how what shows you watch, how often you watch them, when you watch them. And so all of a sudden, the DVR companies are like, hey, Nielsen's giving you guys like 8 p.m. on NBC ratings. Pfft, we've got all of these other ratings that they're not taking into account that you can get from us.
Not only that, but they can actually tell when you're pausing your TV because the infamous nip slip, I hate even saying those words.
Yeah, really?
In the 2004 Super Bowl with Janet Jackson, they TiVo, the popular DVR company, although do people still use TiVo? They probably do.
I don't know.
It's like every local cable company has their own DVR now.
It seems like it.
But they were able to say that was the most replayed clip in the history of TiVo up until that point, was people pausing and rewinding.
Right.
That stupid, stupid stunt.
Right.
But like you were saying, they've now decided, at least some networks have decided, they're going to start counting what's called the DVR. I'm so bitter. The DVR Plus system, which is DVR live plus same day.
Yeah, that's the Nielsen method.
Live plus 3 days, or live plus three, and then live plus seven, which is obviously live plus same days if you just watch it later that night. Plus three is 3 days, within 3 days, and then seven is within that week.
And I'm seeing like conflicting information out there. It seems like either they now have basically just live plus three, which is like their main measurement.
Well, what matters is what the advertisers say is what we care about. Like you can have live plus 20, but if the advertisers are like, we don't care about live plus 20, that doesn't do anything for us.
Exactly. It's true.
But it sounds like you're right. Like at one point they tried to say that live plus same day is basically the same thing. Nielsen did.
Right.
And the advertiser, and they wanted to lump it together with live. And the advertiser was like, no, it's really not the same.
No, because of the fast forwarding thing.
Yeah. So let's at least separate these numbers out so we can look at it all individually.
Yeah. The thing is the people who are watching TV, you know, i.e. you and I, we don't care what the advertisers think, and they basically just need to keep up with our viewing habits, which are changing radically.
Yeah.
The broadcast networks have lost 17% of the most coveted demographic, 18 to 49-year-olds, between 2012 and 2013. 17% just gone.
Yeah.
Part of that is because the networks put out terrible, terrible stuff, although so do the cable networks these days, too.
Yeah, sure.
But another part of it is because broadcast is stuck in this sweeps week, certain time on a certain day format that it's been in forever.
Yeah.
Since the 50s. And they're being basically held hostage by Nielsen's ratings. So there's been a real push to advance technologically and to start taking into account these other myriad ways that people consume television and getting a clearer picture of what an audience is doing. And the fact that it's now computer-based and we have ways of tracking computers, really, broadcasters are as excited as ever.
Sure.
And we just have to figure out how to do it. And we'll talk about how they're trying to figure out how to do it right after this. Stuff you should. Today's episode is brought to you by Altoids because, let's face it, unraveling the mysteries of the universe is tough work. But with Altoids, your breath will be stronger than a black hole's gravitational pull.
more intense than an alien abduction, and more reliable than your phone's battery during a podcast marathon. When it comes to needing intense freshness, Altoids have you covered. Altoids are stronger than your favorite conspiracy theory, more intense than the latest true crime docuseries, and more reliable than a Bigfoot sighting. They're not just mints, they're curiously strong mints. Find Altoids in the checkout aisle. Grab your tin today. Hey, everybody. If you're building a deck at work and you want to supercharge it, check out Canva presentations. Work docs have been the same for too long, but Canva docs are different. They're visual. They grab readers' attention with images, charts, tables, and videos playable right in the doc. Plus, docs don't have to be just words on a page. You can make your docs pop with Canva docs.
That's right. And Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, HR, ops, marketing, and more, Canva presentations can be the solution for you. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it.
Canva presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. Start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, adding images, graphics, charts, data visualizations, all from a massive media library. It's super easy to wow any audience with Canva presentations.
So start designing today at canva.com, designed for work. That's canva.com. Well, one thing before we get to the internet that we haven't mentioned yet is you might hear in TV parlance mm-hmm. the word share
yeah.
as opposed to rating. And what that is a share is how many people are watching a certain TV show that are actually watching TV. A rating is just how many people are watching it. But the share is how many people, what share of people are watching a show that are watching something.
Right.
Other people, like, if your TV's off, it doesn't count.
No, then
so your share number is always going to be higher.
Yeah, it is. But the rating is the number of people watching it compared to the entire population of America, right?
Exactly.
Or Canada.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about Canada. They steal our shows. So now we're on to the newest development. DVRs kind of threw a wrench in the plans, but they're trying to take those into account.
And they've been pretty successful, it seems like, with that.
Yeah, once they settle on what they all agree is a valid thing.
Measurement.
Yeah, a valid measurement. But now, of course, people are consuming TV online more than ever, on their laptops, on their tablets, on their mobile devices.
Can I throw out some figures for you real quick, Chuck?
Please.
Consider this. 116 million television sets in the United States.
Yeah.
There's 113 million tablets. Yeah, 166 million smartphones and 243 million internet-connected computers. Double the amount of televisions in the U.S.
Yeah.
And people are watching stuff whenever they want, however they want, on this. And as it stands right now, Nielsen is still trying to figure out how the heck they can most effectively track these people.
Yeah, well, this is the first year. This fall TV season will be the very first year that they're going to supposedly have a across-the-board measurement system with TV ratings that'll include viewership on everything, including your mobile device.
And it's forced some innovation, too, because the Nielsen can't just say, oh, well, we'll add like an eavesdropper onto your tablet or your smartphone because it'll drain your battery.
Yeah, what it'll probably be is a third-party app or piece of software. And it makes sense. It seems like it would be easier than ever to track watching habits in the near future.
Okay. It is if you're Google. If you're Nielsen,
yeah.
And you've been basically caught off guard by this since, you know, you maybe started thinking about this in 2011,
yeah.
Then you're in deep trouble.
Old man Nielsen.
There's a very, very effective way of tracking computer use, Chuck, and it's called cookies. And cookies have been around forever. And they've gotten to the point now where they can plant cookies on your tablet, your smartphone, your computer, mm-hmm. however you, all these things you use. And after a while, just from paying attention to the data, the algorithm will basically say, I think these three cookies over here are the same person.
Right.
And they'll put them together. And all of a sudden, what was once three users is now one. And the picture is that much clearer of who binged watched season two of True Blood
yeah.
this week.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So there's cookies out there, and they've been around for a while, and they're very easy to get and very easy to use. And this is what Nielsen's up against.
Yeah, and you may be saying to yourself, well, who cares how people are watching it, if it's online or on TV? But what matters is advertisers, if you've noticed, if you watch shows online, like with Hulu or something, they're different commercials. You're not seeing the same stuff. And they still can't even decide now what to count, because they don't want to, you know, if Brad Pitt does a Pepsi commercial, he probably has it in his contract. Well, this can only run on
air,
on network, on air TV
in Thailand. Only.
Yeah. Don't show me on Hulu. I don't want my commercial running online.
If I show up in South Korea, you owe me $10 million.
That's right. So they have a lot of control on how their images are seen. Or maybe they, maybe there's an awesome commercial that licensed, The Who's Won't Get Fooled Again. It's only licensed for television. They can't show that same commercial online.
Right.
So you're going to have to show what some advertisers or shows or networks might consider a substandard ad. So they don't even want to count that as a view.
Yeah. And the same applies to TV shows, too. There might be actors, writers that are just for on-air and not for video distribution, or just like with the ads. So it seems to me like it's not just Nielsen who's up against this. The networks are still trying to figure out things like TV everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, they want you to be able to watch TV everywhere you are at all times, because then they can serve you ads everywhere at all times, and they can charge for those kind of things. But they can't say how to track this yet, one. And then not everything's cleared for all forms of media, two.
The other problem with online viewing is they don't have that all-important demographic detail.
Okay, again, though.
Or they could, though.
If they start using cookies, then they've got it right there.
Sure.
This is what advertisers are salivating over, like hyper-targeted ads.
Yeah.
So, like, imagine if you and I are watching the same, like, classic episode of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And I'm watching on my computer, you're watching on your computer, we're sitting right next to each other, we press play at the same time, the ad break gets to the same spot at the same time, and then, boom, two different ads come up.
Yeah, I get Ovaltine because I'm in my 40s.
Right.
And you get a Ferrari ad because you're 5 or 6 years younger than
me. Exactly. That's exactly what would happen, too. So this is what advertisers want, like that level of targeted. But the Nielsen company is still dominating. If they can catch up, the Nielsen company will be around for another 50, 100 years. But again, they're up against cookie tracking right now. And if somebody can come along and be like, hey, man, we've got all of your second screen data you could ever want, then, again, Nielsen's in big trouble.
Well, there are companies trying to do that. There's one called ComScore that says they can offer a single metric that shows who's watching television across every single platform you can think of.
Yeah.
Time-shifted, on-demand, streaming, live, whatever. ComScore says they can do it. NBC has signed up with them, and they haven't dropped Nielsen. You know, they're just spending more money to try and get better tracking. There's another company.
They did that in the 2014 Sochi Olympics, right? Was that the trial?
Yeah, I think that's when they rolled it out.
Supposedly it was super successful.
Yeah, that's what they said. And then there's another one called RenTrack that their origins were just a video cassette distributor, but they realized that that was going nowhere.
What?
In 2014.
Even worse, they were beta.
Yeah, so they've diversified into TV ratings. And they use cable set-top boxes and right now have deals with 70 networks and 300 TV stations. And basically the competition, David Poltrek, he's a chief research officer for CBS Corporation, said that it's the competition on the research front is the most intense it's ever been.
Oh, and, it's a pretty exciting time.
Yeah, and Nielsen actually, there was FTC antitrust settlement where I think the way I understand it is that Nielsen was using they acquired a company called Arbitron, which is a specialist in radio and out-of-home measurement. And I think there was an antitrust suit saying, like, you can't be the only people using this. So they've now licensed that out, were forced, I think, to license it out to ComScore, who is now using that portable people meter. Not purple people eater.
No, man, but hats off to you for getting it right.
And I think I'm understanding that correctly. But the long and the short of it is, unless they get this right, they think they are missing out on as much as 15% of TV viewing is going unaccounted for at this point.
So if like you're a network or something like that, that's ad revenue, right? That's an ad rate hike that you aren't getting. If you're an advertiser, that's like a whole like ghost group that you may or may not be getting your product in front of, but like you can't say either way.
Having
10 or 15% of the advertising or viewing audience unaccounted for is not acceptable. To me,
not in modern America, buddy.
This is what I think is going to happen. I think they're going to get their jazz together, and be able to track who watches a show down to 100%.
Yeah.
And the people who make the shows will sell a package to an advertiser, and the advertiser spot runs in that show no matter where it's consumed.
Yeah.
So it's like a 360 deal, basically.
Yeah.
Like, this show is going to be broadcast live or broadcast on the NEPs. It's going to be up on our player. You're going to be able to watch it on tablet. But in all of these, it's going to be when you buy an ad spot, it goes with the show no matter where the show goes.
Right. I could see that.
And then there's another happy aspect of tracking viewing, like down to this granular detail. Your shows are more likely to be saved. Our show, again, I say, would not have been helped by any of this. But the whole reason Community was online or still on air was because the NBC was smart enough to be like, oh, well, wait a minute. Like, yeah, its ratings are abysmal.
Yeah.
Traditionally speaking. But on Twitter, it actually trends. It's like a worldwide trend. That's valuable.
Yeah.
And they figured out that this is something you have to take into account. Nielsen has as well. They launched a partnership with Twitter, who in turn bought like basically a TV trend tracking service.
Yeah.
So now Nielsen's going to start taking Twitter trending into account, into its ratings.
Yeah, and I think I think Nielsen has a deal with Facebook too, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, to try and see again what's trending, I guess.
Yeah, and so now it's not just going to be how many people are watching, but how many people are talking about it, how
right.
many people like dress up like that character on, you know, that night, that kind of thing.
Yep.
So really neat, inventive shows that don't get a huge national audience
sure.
will maybe have a longer life.
We might still have Freaks and Geeks.
Yes, that would be nice. Although that was a perfect run encapsulated in one season.
Yeah. It's pretty great. And everyone on that show went on to be huge movie stars almost.
Yeah.
Well, not everyone, but a lot of them did.
Most of them.
Man, you know who if we would have had time, who we should have talked to about this was Luke Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
Our buddy Luke is...
He's movies, though, right?
Well, no, he does... He knows all about this stuff. He does TV as well, but he's just... Talking to him is like he's always one step ahead. He's very, very forward-thinking, smart guy.
He is. And
I bet he would verify your theory on where we're headed, maybe tweak it.
Well, Luke, if you're out there listening, let us know.
You better be listening.
And also, I'm eternally grateful to Luke Ryan for my Billy Zabka signed Hot Tub Time Machine poster.
That's right. Yeah. That's how we first met him, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
If you want to know more about Luke Ryan or TV ratings, you can type either of those two into the search bar at howstuffworks.com. And since I said Luke Ryan, not Luke Bryan,
yeah,
that's different.
I don't even know who Luke Bryan is.
He's a huge, big-time country star.
That's why I don't know who he
is. Do you know he sold out like two shows at Madison Square Gardens? And like, apparently he's the only one to ever do that. He's huge.
No, people sell out multiple shows at Madison Square Garden all the time. Like, well, Bruce sells out like 6-8 in a row.
He's one of them.
Okay. Maybe he broke like the time record or something.
But
like,
he's a good guy too, though.
You know, if his name isn't Willie Nelson, then I don't know him.
Well, anyway, it's time for listener mail.
I'm going to call this a train conductor. I love that job. We had one that wrote in.
Awesome.
Hey, guys. Been wanting to write in for a while now. Been waiting until I could think of something interesting to relate to you. I found your podcast a while back in February. I was looking for something to listen to while I commute to work. Working out of Penn Station for the Long Island Railroad as a train conductor means my hours tend to have me driving home anywhere from midnight to 3 a.m. And prior to finding your show, all I listened to were audiobooks or the radio, but I got bored with all that after a while, and I noticed my eyelids were getting heavier and heavier, which is about 70 miles door-to-door on my trip.
Yeah.
It's no good.
No.
Enter Stuff You Should Know. From the first time I listened to you guys, I've been wide awake, amused, and attentive the whole drive. That's why I want to thank you guys for keeping me alive because if not for your show, I'm sure I would have fallen asleep and driven off the road. Ever since childhood, I've always been fascinated about history and learning how things work, and was evident by me dismantling my toys and attempting to put them back together. Although it's funny, in the end, I always had extra parts. So again, thank you for accompanying me on my drive home every night. It's been nice having three friends in the car, although one of you is extremely silent. That's Jerry. And by the way, Jerry didn't get canceled. We were just joking.
Yeah, right.
She's on the air. And that is from Angel Cartagena in Bethel, Connecticut.
Or Angel.
I wondered about that. He says, P.S., if this becomes listener mail, I know you both try so hard to pronounce things. My last name is Cartagena, like the city in Romancing the Stone.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't say if it was Angel or Angel.
If his last name's Cartagena, it's Angel.
I would think, but we'll see.
We will see. Let us know, Angel. That's what I'm going with.
All right.
If you want to let us know how to pronounce your name, we're always happy to hear from buddies out there who listen in listening land. You can tweet to us at SYSK Podcast. You can post the pronunciation of your name on facebook.com/stuffyoushouldknow. You can send us an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com. And as always, hang out with us at our home on the web, stuffyoushouldknow.com.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.